Thus, that people will really be reminded of what they really speak of to men in, who have been in battle, know more of what it speaks of than those of us who have been spared from it. Speaks of death, speaks of reality, bombs bursting in the air and such terrible things that go on, I'm sure, in a war. I've never been into it, never been in the service, but it's great to rejoice and to be reminded of what it really speaks of men and women who gave their lives for the cause of freedom, that we might be free, set free. President Bush, in his inaugural address and celebration time, greatly emphasized freedom, didn't he? Everybody in the world has a right to be free. The truth is they're not. There's many people that are under the bondage, the tyranny of a ruthless leader, and know not of the freedom that others enjoy. Freedom of speech, freedom to live in without fear, and so many freedoms that we enjoy in our country. As we celebrate an Independence Day, reminded of the time that in 1776, July the 4th, that the Declaration of Independence was signed and received became independent from the British rule, and the 13 colonies involved and so on, and without getting into some of the history, but it was a day that we celebrate our independence. I was thinking of the word independence, and to be independent, to be free from the rule of another country, and that. And so it is that same independence is today, isn't it? It hasn't changed. And the freedoms that were pronounced at that time are certainly the same today. And the men who signed the Declaration, who wrote the Declaration, and many of the things that were written in with a godly sense, unfortunately today some of those freedoms aren't as emphasized as they were then. And some of our freedoms that once were priority seem to be become watered down, deteriorating, and so on. But thank the Lord, there are many of our freedoms that we still enjoy in the same way and manner. Jim has out on the sign out there, sins forgiven, real freedom. And I think that's a good way to put it. Sins forgiven, real freedom. So I'd like to focus on the word freedom, and perhaps in a couple of areas. The word is found. The word free is found in a number of portions. And I'd like to look at them just briefly. Let's turn to John chapter 8. We'll read a few verses here. John chapter 8, and we'll begin at verse 31. We're only going to read part of this portion. To get the full thrust of the thought, you have to read the whole chapter, the rest of the chapter, and that is a very good portion the Lord Jesus having the conversation with the Jews at that time. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever. The Son of Man abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have no father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why did ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Just going to stop there. A couple of things I'd like for us just to think about in this portion of Scripture. There's a lot of in this context, but I would just like for us to look at a couple of things. In verse 31, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We want to know real freedom. We need to continue in the word. Need to continue in his word. If we continue in his word, we are his disciples indeed. Real freedom is found in the word of God, isn't it? No other place. Many people are in bondage to many things today. Many are in bondage to religious traditions, to the religious rulers that set forth the laws and so on, and the Jewish people themselves were in bondage to the law that God had given to them. The law spoke of bondage. Many people are in bondage to many things in this world. They're bound by their own choice in life. They're bound by their own thinking. Bound by philosophy and man's teachings. And so on. There's many things that people are in bondage to. There's many things that people being involved in are so overwhelmed and taken up by them that there's no place to recognize that the things of this world and the things of man can only bring them as far as bondage can produce. Can never produce freedom, true freedom that is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we have the fear of death removed the moment we're saved. It would be a terrible thing to go through life and not know where you're heading for eternity. Some people don't care. Some people's attitude is, I'm only here for a time, that's it. You don't know what's beyond the grave. I want nothing to do with the Word of God. But down inside, there's a fear of death in the heart of every man. Death brings torments. There's a certain amount of fear that is implanted in man of death. Paul says there's a time coming when all of that will be removed. The sting of death, the very fears of death, will be removed. That's for the life of the believer, of course, in eternity. Even in the life of the believer, when you see death, it brings a sense of fear. But that's going to be removed. But until that time, that sting remains. To go through life and have no confidence that brings freedom, true freedom to the soul, not to experience that freedom that God wants to give, but to go through life and have doubt and not sure and depending on man and to see the failures of man and to do nothing about it only produces bondage. It can't produce freedom. True freedom is knowing, the confidence in knowing without a doubt that in my life I've been set free from that which was held me in bondage. And of course, what holds man in bondage is sin, isn't it? Man is born in sin, and sin is what produced the bondage. But to be free from that sin and to have the assurance and the confidence that we have that freedom that's eternal, that no man can take away, is one of the greatest senses of freedom that can be expressed from the soul of man. And having that relationship with the Lord that is free, taking away all of that sense of bondage, is a wonderful thing. It can only be found in the Word of God, to continue in His Word. And it's the truth that sets us free. If you know the truth is what sets us free. To dwell in false thinking, false teaching, and so on, will never produce freedom. But it's the truth that brings the confidence and the assurance in our life day by day, that no matter what happens in my life, that I'm free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Jewish people said, we're of Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. We were never in bondage to any man. But if you look in the history of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt, weren't they? They spent 430 years in bondage there. Such ruthless taskmasters as the Egyptians were. They were also in Babylonian bondage, weren't they? Under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Again, taskmasters serving under very tyrant leaders of the Babylonian Empire.
They were in bondage to the Persian, Rome. At this time, of course, under the Roman Empire, they were in bondage to. They were trying to set before them their case. That Abraham were of the seed of Abraham, which, of course, the Jewish people are. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, and so on. But they were trying to justify the fact that they were never in bondage to anyone. We're never in bondage to the law, and so on. But they were. They were in bondage. Their forefathers, and so on, they had experienced the bondage. But notice what the Lord Jesus says to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. If we commit sin, we're the servant of sin. That's whom we serve, or what we serve is sin. Sin is our master. We're the servant. We commit sin. Man is born into sin. Before one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, sin is their master. Sin is the one whom they serve. But you know, the moment we're saved, we recognize that we're a sinner and receive Christ as our Savior. Sin is no longer, we're not a servant to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We see in verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. In the Old Testament times, the servant would serve for 6 years, then on the seventh year, he could go free. And he wasn't in the house forever. He had that choice that he could go free after that time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he abides in the house forever. He's the true servant. And he reflects the Father. He's the true servant of the household of God, Paul tells us. And he's the one who serves. He's our servant. He's also our master as well. He's our master. He's our servant. Number of verses speaks of the fact that the servant of being servant of sin. Paul says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To be justified freely by his grace, it's free. To know the freedom that we have through being justified. Just as if we had never sinned. The slate has been wiped clean. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been justified, made right before him. And we're sanctified through his word. Thy word is truth. In John chapter 17. Sanctification saves us from the corruption of sin that sin brings. And being set apart for God, to serve him, to live for him, it's a wonderful thing to know that we've been set free, we've been sanctified, we've been made free to live a life that is free before him. We're sanctified. We're justified. We're sanctified with Him. There's many other verses that we could look at, but we're just going to let's go to Romans chapter 6. In verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." The servants, you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed the truth, the doctrine of the Word of God that was delivered to them. "Being made free from sin, yet became the servants of righteousness." Verse 20, "For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end thereof, and everlasting life." Who are we serving? The servant of sin or the servant of righteousness? And as a child of God, you ought to be a servant of righteousness unto God. Not the servant, not being the servant who is serving sin. But we need to be a servant of righteousness to bear fruit. Holiness, the end, everlasting life. There's great rewards in being a servant of righteousness, not serving sin, but to be a servant of righteousness, to express the fruit of being free and right before God and evidence in one's life. You're truly free and you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing fruits unto holiness, the end of everlasting life, right through to the end. It has tremendous values. The end is great rewarding. At the end, you continue on as the servant of righteousness, producing the fruit of holiness. It will never end. It's everlasting life through all eternity. Sin has an end. There will be an end. Those who serve sin, there will be an end. Unfortunately, where they will end. The servants who serve only sin, the end will be destruction, burning in the lake of fire in hell itself. A terrible end for the ungodly. There's a time coming when God will judge man. But the end of a servant of righteousness is everlasting life. It's a wonderful thing as we think of the freedom that we have as a servant of His. In verse 36, "If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed." If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. You see, Abraham couldn't produce the eternal freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ could produce. Now the Lord Jesus was part of the lineage of beginning at Abraham and so on down through. But the Lord Jesus was the son of a forever house, which He abides forever. Those of Abraham's seed, of course, didn't. They died. But you see, with the Lord Jesus, his house abides forever. And we're part of that house. When he makes us free, we're free indeed. There's no question. We're part of his house. And it's a great thought when we think of it, that we've been made free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Real freedom is found in him. But you know, there's hindrances to freedom. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We have a story here of a rich young ruler. In verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly can they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And so on. But I was thinking of this portion. This young ruler had everything, he thought. He was all set in life. He had all the riches that he wanted. He kept the commandments, and the Lord knew what commandments that he kept. Thou knowest the commandments. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said to him that you lack one thing. And sometimes only one thing, that one thing can change the whole picture, can't it? Sometimes you're repairing a piece of equipment or a car or anything, and you order the parts come in, you start putting it together, all of a sudden there's one part that is missing. You lack the one part. And as a result, it doesn't get fixed. You have to wait until you get that one part. You know, when you think of it in spiritual, as an illustration, this man had everything. He thought he had it all, the parts and everything together. His life was going to go together fine. But the Lord Jesus said, "No, there's one thing that you lack. One thing that is of utmost importance. You have all kinds of treasures on earth, but there's no treasure for you in heaven. Your focus is not on the eternal treasure. You're focusing only on the earthly treasures. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." There's only one thing that was lacking. And you know, in the lives of many people today, there's only one thing that is lacking. They don't know the true freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give. The freedom of forgiveness of sin that produces real freedom through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. His blood brings together that one thing in redemption. The moment you recognize that you're a sinner and trust Christ as Savior, you accomplish that one thing, as the Lord Jesus said, come and follow me. There's many hindrances to freedom in our life, even as a child of God. Those of us who know and love the Lord, there are hindrances to experiencing real freedom in our life day by day. And Paul tells us of many things, that the pride of men. Paul speaks about our manner of life. It ought to be in heaven. That's where our focus ought to be, the treasure in heaven, not on things on the earth. Yes, we're living in this world. God has given us many blessings. We have more than many countries of the world, and we've got a wonderful country. Do you know what is our real focus? If we should die suddenly in a car accident or death in some way, do you have the assurance, do you have the confidence in knowing that if death should come, that you'll be in the presence of the Lord? And this is what the Lord Jesus was talking to this man about. But he was very sorrowful. His heart was sorrowful. His heart wasn't repentant. His heart was full of sorrow because he loved those riches far more than anything else. That one thing this man failed to see. And not recognizing that, this man was very, very sorrowful. Because he loved those riches, and that's what his heart was set on. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to see another portion where there is one thing. Story of Martha and Mary. The Lord Jesus is in the house. For the sake of time, I just want to read verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I was meditating on these verses here, and the one thing is needful, and this part cannot be taken away from her. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, in talking with him, in focusing on the things of eternal, the things of value, as Mary was, and Martha being troubled and anxious and so on. And I think I could probably fit in with Martha in many ways. And sometimes we don't take the time to sit and to enjoy the presence of the Lord. That part cannot be taken away. That spiritual part of man that produces real freedom cannot be taken away. It can't be. It's forever. It cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away from her. And I was thinking of that emphasis and the fact that it's forever. one thing is needful. Just one thing is needful. And that one thing is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to enjoy His presence. As I say, I don't like to criticize Martha, because Martha was, I'm sure, a different personality than Mary and so on, and she was busy about the house and doing things and preparing. And so often we are the picture of us. Being anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful: to spend time with the Lord. And then just lastly, I just want to touch on Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But this one thing I do, this I do." And the things I believe that Paul is talking about is earlier in the chapter, the things of his past, the things that he counts as refuge before God, the things in his religious background as a Pharisee of the Pharisees and so on, and all of those things of the religious ruler of man, was only man that produced, was but rubbish, that he might win Christ, that Christ may be seen. And all these things he put behind. His focus was to go forth towards the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. See, there's a greater mark that is before us. Sin leaves a mark in our life. Unfortunately, even in the life of a believer, yes, it's forgiven, but yet the mark is there. But you know, there's a greater mark that we're set, have our focus on, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a greater calling, a higher freedom than man could produce. I used to hear this song, a choir sung this song, and you might recognize the words. "So long I have searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and its sin. But then I met Jesus, he made me complete. I forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of its past. And I've traded my shekels for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last." Are you free this morning? Do you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say, "I'm free from the dominion of sin. I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that I have a freedom that is eternal. I know I've been forgiven. I know that I'm a child of God." If you don't have that assurance, trust that you will this day. Let's just close in prayer.